We're going to take our Bible out this evening, and would you turn with me to the book of Luke? We're going to go to Luke chapter number 1, and we're going to be at several places in Scripture tonight, so I hope you'll have your Bible nearby you there and be able to turn quickly and look at these passages of Scripture with me, and I hope these will be an encouragement to you tonight as we look for a few moments here at the time God has given to us of the Christmas story and something very special that God laid on my heart in a very special way about the Christmas story. So something very specific about the Christmas story that I wanted to look at tonight, and again, I trust it'll be an encouragement to you and God will use it to speak to your heart. So we're in Luke chapter number 1, and Brother Corey just a minute ago read from Luke chapter number 1, and we got down to the verse that we're going to look at, and so we already understand the context of the passage, because in Luke chapter number 1, the angel came to Mary, and the angel was announcing the fact that a virgin, Mary, was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. The Holy Spirit was going to conceive in her womb, and that child was going to be born, and then that child was going to have a special name. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31, and I want to introduce you in this verse to the thought that the Lord laid on my heart and just continued to put this on my heart about preaching this tonight at Christmas Eve. So I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31, again, the angel now visiting Mary, and it says in verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb," this is the angel now speaking to Mary, "and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." The passage, or the thought that God continued to lay on my heart, that I felt like he would have me to share with you tonight on Christmas Eve, is found at the very end of verse number 31. And I'm going to give you some truths tonight that God laid upon my heart as I prepared here for the Christmas Eve service. Look at what it says at the end of verse number 31. It says, "And shalt call his name Jesus." Tonight I want to preach for just a few minutes here in our Christmas Eve service. And I want to preach to you about the name of Jesus. I want to talk tonight about the name of Jesus. I wonder if you would go with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah chapter number 7, and I want us to look at verse number 14. And I want to give you a couple truths that God laid upon my heart when I thought about this name that was given to this child that was born, the Savior of the world, the name Jesus. And I'd like to concentrate upon his name for a few moments. The first thing I want us to notice tonight by way of a truth in this thought about his name, number one, I want you to notice that his name was promised. Number one, his name was promised. Even back to the Old Testament of our Bible, the Bible tells us that prophets gave the announcement. In these books of the Bible that we read, these prophets that came to earth that God used in special ways, he gave to them messages that we read in our Bible. And one of them is found in Isaiah, and the announcement was, or the message that was given to the prophet Isaiah that's penned here in our Bible that we can read, is the promise of what Jesus' name would be. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name," there it is again, the name of Jesus, "shall call his name Emmanuel." Now we've probably studied through our Bible and understood what that word Emmanuel means. If you're not understanding what that means, the name Emmanuel means God with us. So when Jesus came to this earth, he was going to be God here in human flesh, 100% God, 100% man, dwelling on this earth as a human, but yet God. God was going to be with us. And so again, the promise of his name, this one that would come, and the name that was given there of Emmanuel. Then look with me, if you would, just over two chapters to Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. Now, I just want to let you know right now that we're going to touch on this verse, and in just a minute, we're going to come back to it. So we're just going to briefly look at this verse, and in just a minute, I want to come back to this verse, and I want to break down this verse a little bit more in these thoughts that the Lord has given to me tonight. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says this, "For unto us," this is the same prophet giving a message of the coming of the Savior, "for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Here we go. Look at the next three words. And his name. Here's the name that he is going to be called. As a matter of fact, there are several titles for Jesus that are found here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Look, it says this. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here's what this verse is trying to tell us. There's going to be a Savior that's going to come. And he's going to have a name. And there is a promise of this Savior and a promise of this name that he is going to have. So we've got the title in Isaiah of Emmanuel, God with us. And then we got Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is a name that was promised. Now go with me, if you would, to the New Testament again. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 1. Now in Matthew chapter 1, we've got the story of Joseph. Joseph is a little bit troubled. He hears that Mary is with child. He knows that they have not come together in any type of a physical way, and they're just espoused to be married. And so he is going to, in a private way, put her away. And the Bible tells us while he is concerned about that, I'm sure very anxious about that, the Bible says that an angel comes and visits him. Now we're going to look at several verses in this passage about the name that was promised of the one who was going to come. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse number 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son. This is the angel now speaking to Joseph. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Look down, if you would, at verse number 23. By the way, verse number 23 is a passage of Scripture, or is coming from a passage of Scripture, a prophecy that we already read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. But let's look at it again. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, here it is again, Emmanuel. And notice it says, which being interpreted is God with us. This is a name that was promised, right? Jesus is going to come. The Savior is going to come. Emmanuel is going to come, and this is what his name is going to be. And Isaiah just lets us know that his title is going to be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now look with me, if you would, at verse number 25 in Matthew chapter 1. And knew her not, this is Joseph now with Mary, knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, just like the angel said his name would be called. Just like the prophet, way back in the book of Isaiah, just like he said, this Savior is going to come, and this name that he is going to be given, that's promised. And the Bible says that Joseph and Mary named that baby Jesus. Now go with me, if you would, back to Luke. We started in Luke chapter 1. Look back with me again in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 31. We're going to reemphasize what we're saying here. We're saying that this is a name that was promised. Look with me if you would, at Luke 1 and verse number 31. And behold, this is the angel again speaking to Mary. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now go to chapter 2 with me, if you would. Chapter 2 of the book of Luke. By the way, we read from verse 1 down to verse number 20. But look with me, if you would, at the very next verse. The verse that Brother Rob stopped reading at was verse 20. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 21. The Bible says, as that name was promised to be given to the Savior of the world, the Bible says that's exactly what they named him. Look at chapter 2, and verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel. Now remember, we've been reading those passages, haven't we? Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Did you notice there's a key word there? Before. Before he was even conceived in the womb, his name was going to be Jesus. His name was going to be Emmanuel and Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is a name that was promised. But number two, I want to encourage you tonight with this thought about the name of Jesus. Number one, not only his name was promised, but number two, I want to encourage you tonight, his name is powerful. His name is powerful. I want you to recognize, number one in Scripture, that his name is powerful in the fact that it has power to save. In the fact that it has power to save. Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, there is power to save. Now, journey with me, if you would, through your Bible for a few moments. Look at Matthew chapter 1 again. We read this just a minute ago. This is the angel as he speaks to Joseph. And it says in Matthew 1 verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son." Now watch the power of this name here. Recognize this with me if you would tonight. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now notice the power here. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Why was he referred to as Jesus? Because he was going to be a savior, wasn't he? And his name, in his name, there was power to save. Now, would you go with me to the book of John? We're going to look at a few verses that talk to us about the name of Jesus and its power to save. John chapter 20, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 31. John chapter 20 and verse number 31. Now, this is the passage of Scripture after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has risen from the grave. He's appeared to individuals after his resurrection. This is before he ascends into heaven. We read about that in Acts chapter number 1. But at the very end of John chapter number 20, I want you to look at the very last verse, verse number 31, and would you recognize as we read the power in the name of Jesus? Look at this with me if you would. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ," excuse me, "the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life," what are the last three words? "Through his name." See, in his name, there is power to save, isn't there? Look with me, if you would, at the book of Acts, just right after the book of John. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4, what a powerful verse here we see in Acts chapter number 4 about the power of the name of Jesus to save. Acts chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Now recognize this with me now. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Bible says this in John chapter 14 and verse number 6. It says of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says this, "There's no other name that will be able to give you. There's no other name that has the power to save. There's no other name that will be able to grant you, that you can call upon, that will be able to grant you this salvation and this eternal life. But in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, there is power to save." Take your Bible with me, if you would, and turn to Romans chapter 10. I think you're going to find this verse to be a very, very familiar verse. Romans chapter 10. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 13. Probably many that are sitting in here tonight could quote this verse. You could quote it with me. And probably one of the reasons why you could quote it with me is because this is one of the verses we go to when we're trying to lead somebody to the Lord. We're trying to lead them to salvation. We're trying to tell them that there's power in the name of Jesus to save. And the Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There is power in the name of the Lord, and there is power to save. Now, would you take your Bible to the end of the book, end of the Bible, and go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5, and I want you to recognize one more time the power in the name of Jesus to save. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You know, there are a lot of people that have said to me before, "Well, I hope I'm going to heaven, or I might go to heaven." But God's word says you can know that you're going to heaven. You don't have to have a doubt at all. And that's not because of my name. That's not because of your name. It's because we've gotten to a place where we believed on the name of the Son of God. The Bible says you believe on his name and you can know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says it twice in this verse. He reiterates it two times. You've got to believe on the name of the Son of God. Then he says it at the end of the verse. You've got to believe on the name of the Son of God. The second thought tonight about the name of Jesus is it is powerful. And in the name of Jesus, there is power to save. But the second thing I want you to notice is this. There's also power to help. Not only in the name of Jesus is there power to save, but there's also power to give us the help that we need. Now, I told you we were going to turn back to Isaiah chapter number 9. Would you turn back there with me real quickly if you would? And I want you to look at these titles that are given of Jesus here in Isaiah chapter number 9. And I want you to notice how God is here, Jesus, on earth, coming to be the Savior of the world. And he's coming to be our helper. He wants to be our helper. He wants to be the one. His name is the one that can give us all of the help that we need. Notice this with me, if you would. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 and verse number 6, "And his name shall be called Wonderful." Now let's pause at that name just for a moment. The name Wonderful. Now we sing a little chorus in our hymnal, and it says, "His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord." Now the songwriter didn't write that on accident. He wrote it because right here in Scripture, the Bible says that one of the names for Jesus is the name Wonderful. Can I say this about our Savior? His name is wonderful. And I'll go a step further and say this. He is wonderful in every way, isn't he? We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? And in his name there's power to save, but in his name there's power to help. And as a wonderful Savior, he's here to be our helper. By the way, I'll ask you a question here by way of application tonight before we turn to the second name there that's found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Can I ask you this tonight, and you just answer it in your heart? Is he wonderful to you? I hope he's wonderful to you tonight. I hope you can say along with the songwriter, "His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord." And yes, he's wonderful in my life. Now notice what the Bible says next, Isaiah 9 verse 6. "His name shall be called Wonderful," and then "Counselor." Now that name Counselor speaks of his wisdom. It speaks of his wisdom. He is a counselor. When you on earth here, humanly speaking, would go to visit a counselor, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get some wisdom, aren't you? Whether it be a spiritual counselor and you say, "I'm trying to just get some wisdom, just to glean something from you." Maybe if you're going to, before marriage, you'd go to a marriage counselor and they'd talk to you about some steps that you can take to maybe better your marriage as you're entering into marriage. Or maybe you'd go to a financial counselor. Yes, and they're trying to counsel you on how you can rightly use your money. They're trying to give you wisdom. Well, the greatest counselor that we could ever go to is the counselor that we're reading about here tonight in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Can I say this? Nothing wrong with going to human counselors, but make sure you visit the heavenly counselor first. Make sure you spend time talking to him, because the Bible says he is here to give us wisdom so that we can apply that wisdom to our life and let this wisdom guide us. Can I ask you that question tonight? Are you letting the wisdom of God guide you and lead you? Are you applying this wisdom to your life? Can I say this about this counselor, about the one who's here to give us wisdom? He has the answer for every question you ever face in life. And he's even given us a book that we can go to that has the answers for everything we will ever face in life. And some that try to say, "Well, that Bible's outdated. That Bible doesn't answer the questions that we go through that we're going to have to face in 2024. Well, I beg to differ, because this Bible has the answers for everything that we'll ever face. And we have an opportunity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to go to that counselor that wants to give us wisdom. Remember what he said in the book of James? If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, abrateth not. He'll give it to you, won't he? He wants to give you wisdom. He's a counselor. Now notice what else the Bible says he'll do to help us. It says he's wonderful. He's counselor. And he is the mighty God. Now I'm reminded as I think of these titles of Jesus of all kinds of songs that I've sung over the years. And the songwriter said, "Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he." That's what the Bible's saying right here. He is the mighty God, it says. We sing a song, "What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him." We sing, "Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve." Now listen, when Jesus was on earth, he was a mighty God who performed miracles, wasn't he? But we all understand this as we've read through the Bible. That's not the real reason Jesus came. Certainly, I know it was a blessing to individuals who were here on earth that were able to have needs met because Jesus was that mighty God that could perform a miracle. But the greatest way he was the mighty God was when he completed the work of the gospel. He completed the work of salvation when he died on the cross and he was buried. And as a mighty God, he had victory over the grave, didn't he? And so as a result of that, as a mighty God, he gives light today to those who are in darkness. He gives hope to those who are hopeless. He gives guidance for any kind of trouble that you face in your life. Can I say this? That name is a powerful name. It has enough power to save, and that name has enough power to help you. But let's go on. It says he's wonderful. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. But then notice this. He is the everlasting Father. He is what we refer to in Scripture as the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Just consider this with me if you would. We're celebrating the time of year where Jesus left heaven. And why did he have to leave heaven to come to earth? Because he always existed. He was already in heaven, wasn't he? And the Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then the Bible tells us, and he became flesh for us, his incarnation that we're celebrating tomorrow, the fact that he became human flesh for us. He always existed, didn't he? And he says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. But can I ask you to consider this when it comes to the everlasting Father? He not only never had a beginning point, but he will never have an ending point. I love what Jesus said to Martha right after he raised Lazarus from the grave. In John chapter number 11, he says these words to her. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, he says, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I've got news for you. He not only had a beginning, or not only didn't have a beginning, but he'll never have an ending point. Of his throne and of his kingdom, there will be no end. And his throne, he will reign forever and ever and ever. And he has come to bring us and to offer us everlasting life as well. He wants to offer to us that everlasting life that we can take of. Remember what he said in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, he's the everlasting Father, and he's come so that you could have everlasting life. Remember what he said in the book of Revelation. He said these words, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. But do you remember the rest of it? And behold, I am alive forevermore. And he went on to even say that he had the keys to death and hell and the grave. We serve an everlasting Father who's offered to us everlasting life so that we could live forever as well. Then notice one last title that's given to him. The Bible says he's also the Prince of Peace. Now, isn't it good to know that when Jesus came, he brought peace to this world? As a matter of fact, we read as the angels made that announcement, they said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, why was there peace on earth? Because of the coming of Jesus. Well, that's why, because he came. Jesus came, and as a result of that, there was peace on earth. The Bible says this, when you put your faith and trust in him, you can have peace with God. He's the one that wants you to have peace, and you can have peace with God. You can know for sure that you've got that relationship that'll never be taken away, and you can have that peace with God. But then the Bible says that even as we journey along this life and we're in this Christian race, there's going to be challenges from time to time. There's going to be hardships from time to time. And so God says, I've given peace with God when you've put your faith and trust in me. But he says after that, when you go through the turmoils, and the hardships and the challenges of life, I'm here so that you can also understand the peace of God as well. I want you to have peace with God at salvation, but while you journey in your Christian life on earth, I want you to also have the peace of God. And he describes it this way. It is peace that passes all understanding. See, he is the Prince of Peace that came so that the world could have peace. But then let me go a step further, because in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, there's a passage of scripture that describes the armor of God. Now these are invisible pieces of armor. We're not literally putting them on every morning, but we're praying and asking God, Lord, help me to have on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. And then I need to have on the shoes of, what does the Bible call them? The shoes of peace. Now, why are they called the shoes of peace? Because the Bible describes to us what those shoes of peace are talking about. It's talking about the gospel and the message of the gospel. Hey, listen, tonight, if I give out the message of the gospel to somebody and they receive it, guess what they have now? They have peace. They have peace in their heart that maybe they've been struggling for. Maybe they've been looking for it and they've been trying to figure out how they can have peace. And God says, we're to take upon us, put on us the shoes of the gospel of peace. So that we can give out the message of the gospel and others can come to know the God who wants to give them peace, who's the Prince of Peace. Number one, we said about the power of his name, there's power to save. Number two, there's power to help. But I want you to notice, thirdly, in the scripture, the Bible also tells us that there's power in the name of Jesus to heal as well. Not only to save, not only to help, but to heal as well. Would you take your Bible quickly and look in the book of Acts for a moment? Acts chapter 3, there's a story of a lame man who is sitting at a gate that is called Beautiful. That's the name of the gate. The gate is called Beautiful. And he's sitting at this gate. And the Bible tells us he's reaching out his hand and he's asking for alms. Is there anything that you could give me? Because he doesn't have the strength to work a normal job like others are able to do. And so he just sits at the gate of the temple, there, the gate Beautiful, and he begs for money. And so as people are coming out, in and out during their times of prayer, they watch this man as he reaches out his hand and he's asking them for anything that they can do to help him. Well, the Bible tells us one time Peter and John come by. And Peter and John look down at him and they said, well, we don't have any money that we can offer to you, but we can offer something better. We can offer something to you that will give you healing for the problem that you have. And look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6, the Bible says that they say this to him. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Would you notice the next few words with me? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can I say tonight there is power in the name of Jesus? The Bible says right after they said those words to him, he took him by the right hand, verse 7, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. It had nothing to do with Peter. It had nothing to do with John, but it had everything to do with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 8, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Silver and gold I don't have, they said, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in his name. And in his name alone, they said, rise up and walk. In his name, there is power to heal as well. Now you say, well, how does that apply to me today? I'm not like that lame man at the gate Beautiful. But there are times in our lives, we may face some health challenges. Do you know we can go to God? And we can pray to God, and he is the one that can heal. He is the one that can help, and he is the one that can save. There is power in the name of Jesus. The third thing I want you to notice about the name of Jesus. Number one, we said it was a name that was promised. Number two, it's a name that's powerful. But number three, I want you to notice this. His name also, number three, is precious. His name is precious. Now think about the name of the one whose birth we are celebrating tomorrow. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And not only was he given a name that was promised, not only his name powerful enough to save and to help and to heal, but his name is a precious name as well. I think about some songs again that we sing in our hymnal. One of those songs we sang just a couple Wednesday nights ago with you. It's found in our hymnal and it says that beautiful name, that wonderful name. It talks about how that the name of Jesus has power to save and power to free. I love that title of that song and the words of that song, that beautiful name. And then we sing another little chorus and it says these words, Jesus, name above all names. His name is a precious name and it's above every single name that can ever be uttered here on earth. And then I love this one. I imagine many of you tonight are familiar with this. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Oh, there is no name like the name of Jesus. It is a precious name that was given as a title to the Savior of the world. Now think with me tonight of how precious this name was to those who had a chance to meet Jesus during his earthly ministry. Because of the precious name of Jesus, it meant salvation for a group of shepherds that were out in a field. It meant healing to those that felt helpless. As a matter of fact, we just talked about one in Acts chapter 3, didn't we? It meant that there would be destruction to demons that were possessing and filling the bodies and the lives of individuals that Jesus would be able to rescue and give help to. It meant life, life to groups of lepers who looked down at their skin and said, I'll never be able to be in with my loved ones anymore. I'll never be able to be in a group of people. I've got to always shout out unclean. But yet there were some times in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ where he gave healing to lepers and it gave life to those that were lepers. And then can I say something that applies to every single one of us? Just like Jesus gave resurrection to some that were dead on this earth during his earthly ministry, including Lazarus. We just brought him up a minute ago. Remember, Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. By now he stinketh, Lord. But remember, he was raised from the grave, wasn't he? And can I say this? Just like Jesus did that physically speaking to some that were here on earth, he's done that spiritually to you and I that are sitting in here tonight. His name is so precious because it gives resurrection to those that are dead. Think about how we were dead in our trespasses and sins spiritually. But the Bible says because of the name of Jesus, we've been quickened. We've been made alive through the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is truly precious. Now I'm going to ask you, if you would, to look at one more passage of Scripture with me and we'll be done tonight. I want you to turn quickly with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians. I want you to see this now with me. Philippians chapter number 2. And I want to give you the last thought that God gave to my heart as I was preparing this message. Philippians chapter 2. And I want you to notice the fourth thought tonight. Number one, we said this name was promised. We said number two, this name is powerful. We said number three, the name of Jesus is precious. But I want you to notice lastly, the name of Jesus is also praised. It is a name that is praised. Now, if you don't believe me, notice what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2. And by the way, much of this passage talks about the Christmas story. We're talking about the Christmas story here in Philippians chapter number 2. Now, notice with me, if you would, starting in verse number 5. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Meaning he was willing to let go all that he had in heaven. And out of, as the hymn writer said, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Jesus was willing to leave the ivory palaces and come down to this earth for us. Now notice what it says in verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here's Jesus willing to come to earth, humbling himself, taking upon him the form of a servant, and was willing to die for us on the cross. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. This is where it gets good. Look at verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a what? A name. Now we're talking about the name of Jesus tonight, aren't we? He's given him a name, watch this now, which is above every name. Remember, that's a precious name. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. There's not going to be a name that can ever be uttered from our lips that is more precious than the name of Jesus. It's a name that is above every name. And now notice how precious this name is. It's a name that ought to be praised. Because the Bible says in verse number 11, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus. So he's given him a name, watch that, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Does that say everyone who's trusted the Lord and believed in him is going to bow? No, it says every knee is going to bow. There are some that would probably perhaps say to you here on earth, I'll never bow to the name of Jesus. Oh, but they will. Because his name is to be praised. And it says every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And I love verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I've said this so many times when I've read this passage, you could probably say it with me. I always say this when I read Philippians chapter 2 at the end there when it talks about every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. I always make this statement. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when it will happen. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His is a name, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that is a precious name. It's a powerful name. It was promised that it was going to be given. And can I say this? It is a name that is to be praised. We are getting to celebrate the wonder and the beauty of this name and what Jesus came to do tomorrow. And I hope you'll rejoice in this name that we talked about tonight. And it was a promised name because he was going to be the Savior of the world. And it's powerful because it's powerful enough to save. It's powerful enough to help us. It's powerful enough to heal. And it's a very precious name, and it's a name that deserves to be praised. Maybe we could just spend some time just praising the Lord tonight, just thanking him for what he's done for us. Thanking him for the fact that we get to celebrate the coming of Jesus to earth tomorrow. And we get to rejoice in that, whether it be with our family, whether it be with our friends, even if it's by ourselves. We get to celebrate the coming of the one who would be the Savior of the world. May we rejoice in that tonight. The precious, precious, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ that is above every name, that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess. I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. Father, tonight, I pray that you would help to encourage our hearts as we've heard from the Word of God this evening.